Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Thank you, Dave.
Sure.
Mark Silk joins us now, director of the Leonard Greenberg Center for the Study of Religion and Public Life, and professor of religion in public life at Trinity College. And we're going to talk about people identifying religiously and how does that play a role in how they're going to vote and how likely is religion to matter in the 2020 elections, which, by the way, are 43 days away. Good morning, Mark. How you doing?
Good morning, Tucker. Tommy.
I'm sorry.
I'm up here in Maine just looking out at the ocean. We've been here for a long time, but I'm fine today.
I wish I had your view, because I'm sitting in a closet at home looking at the wall about 3 feet away from my face.
Tell me about
religion. And first of all, should we delineate between religion and faith? And I don't mean this disrespectfully, but if you're going to talk about religion, is it what particular religion, like you're Republican or Democrat, right? But maybe you're active in the party, maybe you aren't. Is this people that are Protestant and active, or Catholic and active, or not really active? How do you even begin to study all of this?
Well, I think really, you know, you sort of put your finger on the two dimensions. One is what is your religious tradition? And, you know, there's a connection between ethnicity and religion, or race and religion. And then how religious are you? And one of the big developments over the past quarter century in American life is that more religious people, whatever their affiliation, tend to vote Republican. Not overwhelmingly, and you know there's certainly exceptions and so on, but from around the year 2000 up through the 2016 campaign, maybe by 20 points, if you're, so it's a big gap, sometimes called the God gap. But then your particular religious tradition matters as well. So if you're Jewish, you're much more likely to vote Democratic. If you're an evangelical Protestant, much more likely to vote Republican.
Despite the candidate?
You know, these are party identifications, and they're mapped pretty closely, and they become sort of more pronounced over time. You know, Catholics, and I know down there in New Orleans, there are a lot of them, do divide significantly on ethnic grounds. So white Catholics trend Republican, and not as much as white evangelicals do. Latino or Hispanic Catholics tend to vote Democratic.
I mean, get some people mad here, but I think if you just take a take a deep breath and listen to what I'm saying, you'll understand where I'm going with this. Before he was elected president, I don't know that anybody would think of then Donald Trump, now President Trump, really in terms of religion or in terms of representing Christian values. I don't know that anybody would have done that, but now it seems that because he is a Republican, although he started out as a Democrat, but he's a Republican, and now really is the head of the party, they view him differently, I guess. Do you understand why I see a disconnect there?
Sure, I do. You know, one of the things for all presidential candidates running as Republicans is that they have, since Ronald Reagan, embraced pro-life position on abortion. And Donald Trump is certainly a prime example of that. And he's done a lot to deliver on that promise. So he's a transactional guy. And it turns out on the religious end, there are a lot of people who are transactional as well. They say, well, you know, we don't maybe particularly appreciate or like what we know of or think we know of Donald Trump's personal morality. And we, you know, aren't sure, you know, he doesn't go to church and all that stuff, but he delivers for us. And that's what we want. And that's good enough. We're not electing, one of the lines has been we're electing a president, not a pastor. And as long as we get our issues, I think it's more than that with him. But, for communities that have in the past stressed the importance of personal morality on the part of their political leaders, there is some disconnect, which is kind of a kind way of putting it.
See, what you just said seems rather Machiavellian to me to say, well, he's not or she's not. Let's make it about anybody. Hypothetical, not really a pastor, not a good role model. But so long as they deliver what we want, it really does seem like we're as a faith, as a religion, whatever faith you are, if that's the way you're looking at it, then you're saying the ends justify the means, right?
It's true. And, I would say that the general view going back, you have this going back all the way to visitors to the United States in the 19th century saying, one of the good things about having religion be so strong in America, in the United States, is that it helps keep people's morality strong. And it acts as a sort of moral control over the more, base political instincts, the instincts which sort of say, you give me this and I'll give you that. And now, because our politics do turn on a lot of these moral issues, are you for, same-sex marriage or against it? That's now been resolved, but that's an issue. Abortion's an issue. And so people of different religious persuasions can feel locked in to transactional politics because of their moral commitments. It's an interesting problem.
So in terms of breaking down religions, well, let me take a step back first, Professor, if I can. I had a conversation with a nun, a Catholic nun, when Barack Obama was running for president the first time. And mm-hmm. People listen often here, hopefully to me, and this is not any nun that was affiliated with any school that my daughter went to, because I've spoken about it on the air, and I don't want anybody to start plugging in names that aren't accurate, okay? But this was a Catholic nun, and when he was running for president, she was saying that she was supporting him. And I said, well, he's pro-choice, right? That's not a deal-breaker for you? And she said, there's a Catholic nun now saying no, but because of, and at that time he was running, what he was promising to do for poor people, what he was promising to help, etc., that sometimes you, and her words were, well, sometimes you got to, establish priorities and live with stuff you don't like. And to this day, I remember exactly where I was when she said that because I was taken aback. And I just wonder, does it all come down to pro-life or when you're talking about, or pro-choice, or when you're talking about religious values, how do you even define those when it comes to, I guess, different religions, right?
Well, if we focus on the Catholic thing, and I do think it's an interesting interview that you had. I actually was helping host a webinar just a week ago, and Cardinal Joe Tobin of Newark was on. And he was asked a question very much like this, a Catholic in good conscience vote for Joe Biden, who is in his, he's a Catholic, but he is pro-choice in terms of his policies. And Tobin said, in contrast to some other bishops and priests who have said, you absolutely can't, he said, a Catholic can in good conscience vote for Joe Biden. And in fact, I have a harder time myself thinking of voting for the other guy. So that's a cardinal of the church. I think what you have here, to try to answer your question quickly, is that questions of particular, related to particular issues such as abortion, come down in Catholic moral thought to questions of prudence. How much difference does it make? And how do you weigh this particular issue against other issues, taking care of the poor, immigration policy, healthcare policy? There are a whole range of ones. And what the Catholic Church hierarchy has tended to do, but there are exceptions, but as a whole, is to try to help Catholics develop their consciences, develop the way they think about politics, to take these considerations into account and to weigh them up differently, and recognizing that individual Catholics can come to different conclusions. That's been the position, but it's been one that's contested, certainly in parts of the Catholic world.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up here. We're talking to our friend Mark Sokol, director of the Leonard Greenberg Center for the Study of Religion and Public Life and professor of religion and public life at Trinity College, about the way you identify, the way voters identify religiously, and is it playing a bigger role in how they vote, and how is religion likely to matter in the 2020 election? If you have any questions or comments, and I'd like to hear from you in terms of how religion affects your political choices, etc., you can text them into the Mortgage Financial phone and text line at 504-260-1870. One question I have for the professor when we come back is, does it come from the pulpit into the congregation or from the congregation the other way? I know historically Black churches have been very involved in politics, and I can understand how that came to be, but I don't know if the religions themselves or the preachers themselves are getting more involved in politics or not. It is 9:21. We'll be back in a flash here on WWL. 9:26 now, talking to Mark Silk, director of the Leonard Greenberg Center for the Study of Religion in Public Life and professor of religion in public life at Trinity College. And we're talking about the role religion is likely to play in voters making decisions, some voting already, but Election Day is 43 days from today. So I mentioned earlier, going into the break, Mark, about historically Black churches have been very politically involved, and I understand that to give people that are disenfranchised more power. I fully understand the reason for that. But when it comes to churches outside of that realm, is there an organized effort for churches to become more politically involved, whether it's Protestant, Catholic, even Mormon, Jewish?
There certainly, has been an effort on the part of organizations going back to the 80s, the Christian Coalition, and now Ralph Reed's organization, that do a lot of distributing of voter guides in churches, especially white evangelical churches. I mean, the key thing to sort of keep in mind is if you're in a congregation in which people are all kind of like-minded politically, whatever the religion, you can get away with, as a pastor, as a religious leader, you can get away with a lot more politics than if you've got a divided congregation. If you've got people on, very strong Trump people and very strong Biden people, the prudent course is usually taken by, pastors is we're going to stay out of politics because we don't want to divide the congregation. And so the place where you see the most, politicization of congregations of particular churches is where people are like-minded. White evangelicals do tend to be pretty like-minded, and so you see a fair amount of politics. There is something that's known now as the Johnson Amendment, which says that any nonprofits, including churches and synagogues, mosques, whatever, can't directly involve themselves in partisan politics. That's not to say you can't take strong policy positions, but to get involved, say, as doing phone banking for a candidate or something like that, that's you put your tax exemption at risk. President Trump has said he would get rid of this Johnson Amendment because he thinks that he can profit from the political activism of some churches. That's been resisted in part because I think a lot of nonprofits, including religious ones, don't want to be sucked into that world if they don't, you know, they don't feel comfortable there. And that's true for most places.
What about the candidates themselves? Because, you know, if an atheist candidate, openly atheist, were to say everything that somebody on a Christian right wanted to hear and be completely in line with that, would they have a chance, do you think, of getting the Christian right's endorsement, even if they were saying everything and offering to do everything that the Christian right wanted? Or would that be a deal breaker? Because do you understand the question I'm trying to get to?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's an interesting question. If you, you know, I'd have to say that that if you were out and out, you know, not just sort of, well, I don't go to church, I guess I sort of have a kind of sense that there might be a higher power out there. But you know, if you prevaricated a little bit like that, I think you'd probably get, you know, reasonably far. If you say out and out, you know, there is no God, I don't believe in one, you know, for conservative religious folks, that might be a deal breaker. I mean, I think a lot of people don't think Donald Trump is religious, but he, you know, is prepared to wave Bibles around and to say he thinks it's important, and he doesn't say he doesn't believe in God and all this stuff. And I think, as you know, that's at least for some people enough of a fig leaf. And remember, you know, going back quite a ways to 1980, you know, Ronald Reagan, although he did have quite a serious religious upbringing, you know, was not a churchgoer, was a divorcee, and he was running against, you know, Sunday school teacher in Jimmy Carter, and lots of conservative white evangelicals were happy to vote for Ronald Reagan. So, you know, it's not as if Donald Trump has changed reality in some complete way. There's a tradition of looking to people who are going to support your positions. And that's what politics is about, after all.
In terms of Joe Biden being the fourth Catholic, I think it is, to run for, I just got fourth Catholic. Yep. I don't have the rest of it in my mind. What was it, Mark? Is it not federal office?
Al Smith ran as the unsuccessful Democratic candidate in 1928. John F. Kennedy, of course, in 1960 was elected president, and then John Kerry in 2004. So Joe Biden will be the fourth major party candidate to be a Catholic in American history.
So is that really noteworthy to people anymore? Because he's a Democrat, and again, you're going back to the pro-life, pro-choice question. Other than being a Muslim or an atheist, and I don't mean to denigrate the Muslim religion, just in terms of national perception, et cetera, and what kind of political challenges you would face, will it pretty much anything do, or does it have to be Christian, not just... in other words, if you're Jewish, if you're an atheist, and if you're a Muslim, in terms of religion, again, even if you're saying everything that the Christian right would want, are you pretty much dead in the water?
Well, I think the Christian right would have trouble with a Muslim. I do think, you know, one question that's very interesting to me is how much, you know, why is it that Joe Biden, who is, you know, a cradle Catholic, he walks around with a rosary, he doesn't have the, you know, the church's position on abortion, but he's a, you know, to anybody, certainly of a of somewhat older generation, you know, he is really one, and it's striking the degree to which it does not seem.
Mark, you broke up a little bit. You broke up a little bit. He really is. What did you say?
He's a cradle Catholic. I mean, he carries around a rosary. He goes to mass every week. He's a very observant Catholic. Now, that's not to say he doesn't take the sort of pro-choice position on abortion, which is a deal breaker for conservative Catholics, a lot of them. But But I'm struck by how little impact on the Catholic community Joe Biden's Catholicism seems to have had, at least so far. I think what the way it works, my sort of rule of thumb is the first time, one of your tribe gets elected, that's hugely important. And after that, there's a real drop off. We got our guy there once. It proves it can be done. And now we're going to revert to our usual form.
So when it comes to Catholics, I guess there have been some polling on this. I don't know. But for Joe Biden, if you're a conservative white Catholic, does being a Democrat hurt him more than being a Catholic help him?
I having looked at some of the polling numbers, I'd say it doesn't help him much, if it helps him at all. Mm-hmm. There has been, so far as I can see, some weakening of support for Donald Trump among white Catholics, but it depends on what numbers you look at, and that may have, that has to do with Donald Trump and his policies, not necessarily with Joe Biden. I've got to say, I think the impact is small to almost non-existent.
Anything you want to add, Mark, before we let you go?
No, this has been great, Tommy. I'm always happy to talk, and this was a good long time.
It's always interesting. Good to talk to you. Enjoy Maine.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.